Well, good morning. Man, thank you for joining us here today as we wrap up our series called Jumpstart. You know, everybody likes the look of change, right? When we see something new start, it's kind of exciting. And today, I had never heard of such a thing as freezing fog. That was a little crazy this morning, but I got up early and I walked outside and you could literally see the fog actually freezing everything. And it was a totally cool experience, but it was a little, Ohio has some weird stuff, but freezing fog was a little new. But it was neat to see because we like to see stuff change and you could see it right happen right before our very eyes. And today, the word of the day or the phrase of the day is life change. Life change. We love the look of life change, don't we? So we've been talking in this series. Pastor Steve kicked it off. He said, hey, it all belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. Pastor Dave said, hey, life is better together. Who we're around influences who we become, right? And then we said, hey, if you want to take your next steps, you got to let God's word have a chance to change you. And then last week we talked about serving. And we said, we got to be willing. We got to have open hands to God, be willing to be used to make a difference. And today we wrap it up talking about life change. Open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians is about halfway through your New Testaments, right after 1 Corinthians. We'll be in chapter 9 today. Really, one of our core values of our church, and if you really wanted to boil down the essence of our church and what we're all about here at Grace Church, you want to know what we're all about? Here it is. The fact that life change is an invitation away. Life change. I want you to turn to somebody next to you and with some passion, I want you to say the phrase, life change. So turn to someone to your left and then to your right, say, life change. All right, that's good. Life change, that's what we're talking about, right? What does it look like to have life change? We all get excited when people have seemingly changing experiences in their life. Somebody gets their name drawn, they win a prize. Someone at a basketball game goes to half court, sinks a half court shot, they win money. That's exciting, right? We want to see the person that gets the money. Man, that gives them financial security. We could dream about them being able to pay off their bills and their life is completely changed, right? We like to see shows like Fixer Upper or whatever, and I only know that because I'm married, but Fixer Upper, where rooms get completely changed, right? Something old and maybe ugly or dirty gets changed into something new and refreshing and exciting. We love the look of life change, but the process can be a little scary. The process isn't as easy. The process can be kind of painful, and we don't like the pain of it. And so if we're going to understand what the idea of life change in Christ is all about, we're going to have to, first of all, look at what it's not. Life change isn't some sort of New Year's resolution. You know the thing that you promised 30 days ago to go to the gym? How's that working for some of you, right? Some of you are like, I didn't even get to February, you know, the whole year, or lose weight or whatever it was. Yeah, life change isn't a resolution. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to try this out for a season. I'm going to try the God thing out for a little while and see how it works. That's not true life change. Life change in Christ, it's not even just one event. While it may be initiated by one event, it's a process of complete and final inside-out transformation. That's what we mean when we say life change is an invitation away. And it's just one invitation away. Now, invitations, we like to be invited to things. Think about a wedding. You know, they send the save the date card. You circle it on your calendar. And you're like, oh, got to be there that day. And then they send the invitation to you, and they give you all these options, and you have to RSVP, and you have to respond, and how many people are going to go with you. And then they let you choose your meal for the reception. You want chicken or steak? And I'm always like, is that really a question for me? Like, steak all the time. You don't even have to add. You don't have to put the chicken on my RSVP. I'll just tell you, right? But you respond because someone has invited you. They say, hey, I have an event, I have an experience, and I want you to be with me for it. I want you to be a part of this amazing opportunity. And so we respond. We get invited to birthday parties. We get invited to graduations or anniversary parties or showers or whatever it is. We all get invited to something. And we do inviting to some things because we want their presence there. Really, an invitation is simply asking. You know, the ask. And man, I'll tell you what, as a parent, here's what I'm learning. Kids are really good at asking. They have this down to a science. Our kids, if they really, really want something, I discovered this week in a conversation with my kids that they actually have an asking strategy. Okay? They have actually talked this out about how they're going to ask mom, ask dad, try to get us to go against each other so they can have it. And one of the biggest things that they like to ask is to have some screen time, right? They like to play on the iPad, video games, or whatever. And so we have a limit to how long they can do that every day. And the other day, I was waking up my son for school. I was like, it's time to get up, time to get up. And he's really kind of hard to get up, and he kind of is stretching or whatever, and he's not really in that human point yet. And he's talking. He's like, Dad. I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you think I could play the iPad today? I'm like, you come out of a sleep thinking about the iPad? But that's because kids are good at asking, right? Let me say it this way. Life change is an ask away. It's just one ask away. It's one invitation away. When someone asks you and invites you, you respond. And life change in Christ, a relationship with Jesus that changes us completely, is one ask away. And today, if you're here as a guest with someone, or it's your first time in church, or maybe you just decided to wake up and go to church today, I am going to ask you, I'm going to invite you into an experience of life change that will completely alter your life. It's a process by God's love and grace to change us. Because it's amazing what his hope and his love and his forgiveness and his purpose can bring to your life. If you were really going to boil down the Christian faith, this is the essence of it. It's this life-changing opportunity. It's this life-changing hope that comes in Jesus. And if you were to boil down the essence of Grace Church and someone were to say, what is Grace Church all about? It's this. It's the fact that life change is one invitation away. And it makes a difference because when it's given, when it's offered, seriously, people's lives are changed. And I want you to hear the story of a guy named Nathan. His life was completely changed because his friend Keith asked. He made the ask. Listen to Nathan's story.
Well, I've known Nathan since he was like 13. I got my people I pray for, and Nathan was one of them. And so I'd invite him, and he would, you know, he didn't come, but I didn't take it personal because I just figured, you know, he wasn't ready. So I invited him a few more times, and he still didn't come. And then one day he called me up. He said, hey, are you going to church on Sunday? And I said, yeah. He said, can I go along? And I said, yeah. So he started going with us, and sometimes he comes over in the morning, we cook breakfast, and then go to church together.
I fell in love with church right away. Everyone was nice. Loved the singing, loved the band. I loved Pastor Nick. It was awesome listening to him. I knew I needed change, and I knew I needed Jesus. And at the end of the sermon, he led him to a prayer, and I asked God right then, and I felt forgiveness and felt God's love, and my life has changed.
I think Nathan had come maybe 4 or 5 Sundays. I don't know, maybe it wasn't quite that long. And I said, do you think that you might want to accept Jesus, or do you think that Jesus is speaking to you or anything like that? And he said, I did that last Sunday. And it was like, man, I was so tickled because I've got people in my business and people in my neighborhood and relatives that I'm going to spend eternity with. And that really excites me. That's why we do what we do at Grace. I've been praying for Nathan's family for a long time. And his one brother got saved right in his shop, asked Jesus into his heart right in his shop. And so I was tickled that there's two brothers going to be in heaven with me.
Wow. Is that worth celebrating? Amen. Let's celebrate that God still changes people's lives. He still does that. And when I hear that story and I listen to Nathan's story, I'm like, man, I want to be thankful to God for Nathan, and I'm thankful to God for Keith. But here's the cool part. I thank God for you when I hear that story. Because if you're a part of what God is doing at Grace Church, if you're a part of investing here in what God is doing, you are a part of changing his life. You play a role. Now, you can leave church today and go, man, isn't it amazing to be a part of a movement of God that is changing lives? And by God's grace, I had some role in that. I thank God because of you. And that is exactly what Paul is doing in 2 Corinthians 9. He's talking to the Corinthians, and they were big-time, long-time supporters of his. They had given money so that he could continue his progress on his journeys and taking the message of hope of Christ to different places. They had been an encouragement to him and a support to him, and he was writing to them, and he's like, thank you. I thank God for you. He said, listen, you are some of the wealthiest people on the planet in your day, and the Corinthians were. Just like us. We're some of the wealthiest people on the planet. And so I want to borrow the words of Paul today. And as the pastor and your pastor, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you have done to make life change possible for people. Because it's just one invitation away. I thank God for you. Look what he said in verse 11 of chapter 9. He says, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Another way of saying thanksgiving to God is life change. Paul says, hey, listen, when you're a follower of Jesus, you're made rich. Not necessarily financially. It's not a financial blessing that's a guarantee, but it's bigger than that. It's a spiritual blessing and even a relational blessing. Because if you are a follower of Jesus, you're a part of the church, the body of Christ. And the relationships that we have in the church, that's called fellowship, that makes us richer. Those relationships that challenge and hold us accountable and give us encouragement, those make us wealthy. Why? So that we can bless other people. We are blessed to be a blessing. Literally, Paul says, I want you to share the spiritual wealth that you have with other people. And that's why he continued on in verse 13. He said this, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God. That's life change. For the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Literally, Paul says, it's because of you. I want to borrow those words and I want to say, Grace Church, it's because of you that life change is an invitation away for people. And in that one verse, Paul reveals how it kind of works. How it works that we get to be a part of life change for other people. He gives us really three ways that it works. If you're a note taker, you can write these down. First of all, he says, life change is an invitation away because of your example. He goes, because of your example. The way you live your life matters. Listen, life is a gift from God. No one wants to waste it. I don't want to waste my life. I don't think you want to waste your life. And yet, we only have so much time. And what's the most valuable thing that we can do? All of us are driven to do something in life. Maybe you're driven by success. You want to just be successful. Or some of you are driven by a status. If I can just get to this level of life, then I will feel like I'm satisfied. Or maybe it's an acquiring of stuff. You're like, if I can have stuff, because maybe you grew up and you didn't have a whole lot of stuff, and so you want your kids to have a lot of stuff, and so stuff becomes the thing that drives your life. I've described it to people this way. It's kind of like the wheel in a car. When a car is sitting parked, you can look at the wheel and the hubcap, and there's all these different spokes that go into the centerpiece, but when the car moves, you don't get to see all those spokes anymore. You only see, it looks like a blur. All you see is the center, and whatever's reflected in the center is what you see. Our lives are a lot like that. If our lives are stopped and we reflect, we can see all the different parts and aspects of them. But as soon as our life gets in motion, all that people see, they don't get to see all the intricacies and the details. All they see is who is in the center, who is being reflected for other people to see. Our example matters. And Paul said that in verse 13. He says, it's because of the service that you've proved yourselves and the obedience. Your obedience to the life that God has for you makes a difference in other people's lives. They're following you. This week I was following a car down Burbank Road, and I had to stop for some construction that was going on, and I saw the bumper sticker. It said, "Don't follow me, I'm lost too." And I thought, oh great. It reminded me of a time when I was driving a 15-passenger van, and it was a caravan of vans, and I was lost. I'll admit it, but I wouldn't admit it then, because guys, do we ever admit when we're lost and we're driving? No, of course we don't. And so the guy that was driving the van behind me called, and he said, "Are we lost?" And I'm like, "No, of course we're not lost." I lied. We were. We were completely lost. We had no idea, right? But then I realized they're all following me because I'm leading. And if I lead it the wrong way, they're going. I mean, all of them followed. Our example is being watched. People are asking questions about Christ followers, like, are they really going to practice what they preach? How are they going to handle suffering? Now, if we feel that burden, we're like, man, I got to be perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect. But if I were to pop some popcorn, grab a soda, sit down in the theater, and your life was to play like a movie, who's at the center? Who's calling the shots? If you were to sit down to some popcorn and pop and watch the movie of my life, who's calling the shots? Who's in the center of our heart? One of the biggest ways that our culture observes who's in the center of our heart, Christians, is what comes out of our lips or from our fingers on our posts. Do we speak and post life, or are we caught up in gossip and slander and discouragement and grumbling and complaining and lying like everybody else? People are watching. Jesus said it's not what a person puts into their mouth that gets them in trouble, it's what comes out. And the reason he said that is because what's on the tips of our lips comes from the bottom of our heart. What's inside of us comes out. And other people see that. And Paul said to the Corinthians, praise God that you have Jesus in the center, because your obedience is being seen by other people and it's changing their life. It's changing their life. And life is precious. Our church has learned that this week. We've had a couple tragedies that have just rocked our church. Of young lives gone too soon. About 15 months ago in one of our services, we showed the story of a young man who, because of one ask, gave his heart and life to Jesus. And I had the privilege of spending some time with him before he got married and moved away. And then this week, I got a call that he was killed tragically in an accident. Life is short. And I thank God that I didn't get that call 3 years ago. Because I got it this week, I am confident of where he is at. And there are people that have observed the life change in him and have experienced life change too. The way we live our life is an invitation to life change for people. And it matters. Paul says, because of your example, people's lives are being changed. So when your life's in motion, what do people see? Who do they see? You or Jesus? Paul says our example matters, but then he also continues. He says, more than that, it's not just because of our example. Life change is an invitation away because of our generosity as well. Our generosity. Now, I learned a fact this week that kind of surprised me. I read this week that there is more Monopoly money printed in the United States annually than there is real money. Now, that kind of struck me when I first read it, because I was like, no, that's not possible, because Monopoly is a really long game. Right? Very long game. And there's no way that you would ever have to buy two of these in your life, because if you start playing one Monopoly game, it could last your whole life, right? You could just keep going on and on and on. But Parker Brothers says that they print like $30 billion of Monopoly money a year, compared to like 950 some million that the U.S. Treasury says that we print. Now, that was interesting to me, but then I kind of thought about it for a second, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could go to our Monopoly game and this would be real? Wouldn't that be cool? Oh, come on. Don't lie. You know it'd be cool. You wouldn't go to the ones either. You'd go straight to the 500s, right? Wouldn't it be amazing if this stuff was real? I mean, think of all the things that we could buy. Think of the debt that we could pay off. Think of all of the things we could do. As a matter of fact, there's this show on HDTV. I also know about it because I'm married. It's called Lottery Winner's Dream Home, right? They win the lottery and they go pick a house. I watched like 10 minutes of one episode. I'm like, this is stupid. No one could ever do this unless they win the lottery, you know? Who wants to watch them? You already won. I don't want to see you, right? But that's because money is a big deal to us. Money's a really big deal to us. It can make us get some wonderful things. It can destroy us. None of us think we have enough of it. We all like to get more of it. We work really hard to try to get more of it. We don't like letting go of it. Some of us aren't very good at managing it, but it matters big time. Paul said, hey, listen, the struggle is real, but for the Corinthians, because of their generosity, they were sharing with other people and everyone else. And that led to life change. The hallmark of a loving person is generosity. You can give to someone and not be loving, but you cannot love without being giving. Generosity is love in action. Paul said in a chapter earlier that God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver gives because they have their priorities figured out. They give first, they save second, and then they live on the rest. And money, I get it. It's a really kind of taboo thing, and we don't like talking about it at church, and I understand that. But listen, Jesus talked about money more than anything else, and here's why. He wasn't worried about the paper currency, but he knew that the paper currency and how we treat it is driven from something in here. He knew that money was connected to our heart. In the Gospel of Matthew, he told us to store up treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 10, he told us, listen to this, give freely. Giving's hard because we have to let it go. Am I going to be honest with you? That when it first crossed my mind, you know, we have more Monopoly money in our house than real money. And if it was real, first immediate thought wasn't, man, I could go share with all my neighbors. That wasn't my first thought. Money's a big deal because it reveals our heart. And when we invest for the sake of eternity, we get to be a part of life change. And when you give every week at Grace Church, your giving makes you a part of something unbelievable. And as your pastor, I want to say thank you. In a few weeks, there is a church that is starting in Columbus. And part of the reason that they're able to do that is because of you. Because of your generosity, you're doing that. You're making a difference in Wayne County and around the world. You get to leave church today and go, oh my goodness, I get to be a part of something unbelievable by God's grace. But that's if you're able to let it go a little bit. And so I want to challenge you today to consider your generosity. Not trying to preach at you too hard, but I want to challenge you. And so if you do me a favor and find this card, it's inside your worship program, on the back side are four different levels of giving, and I want you to kind of process this through the rest of the talk. I want to give you four words to consider, and I want you to try to find which word kind of identifies where you're at on this giving ladder that I'm going to show you. The first word is this. It's to trust. Maybe your next step is to trust because you're at Grace, but you don't really give. You know, you're here, and we're glad that you're here, but you haven't really taken the step of being invested in what God is doing. That's okay. We want you to start giving. The goal is 10%. That's a tithe. That's out of obedience, which we'll talk about in a minute. But maybe that's a huge leap for you, and you just need to start at like 0.5% or 1%. It's time to start giving, and the way to do that is to trust God with your finances. Okay? The second step would be obedience. Some of you give when you can. You know, it's kind of like the tip at the end of the meal at the restaurant. Hey, the band was good. We'll give some money, you know. The preaching wasn't? Not today, you know. It kind of depends. And so for you, the step is to go in obedience. Remember, Paul said your obedience to your confession of the gospel makes a difference. And the obedience is to tithe, to give that 10%. And maybe you would say, wow, I give, but if I were to add it up, it's probably only 2 or 3%. 10 is just too far away. Okay, go to 4. Go one more. Take one more step and obey God, trusting that he will provide. Then the next step up the ladder would be to sacrifice. Some of you, you are obedient, and we're so thankful for you. You give 10% regularly and faithfully, constantly, to what God is doing here at Grace Church. You give out of faith in your relationship with God. Yet to go to another level would mean to give as much as you can. I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Corinthians gave as much as they were able. And I was like, whoa, that's a different kind of living. When you're able to give as much as you can, you might have to do some lifestyle adjustment. You might have to consider things and look at things a little differently. But if you're giving that 10%, the Bible doesn't say, hey, that's it, you're gold, good, forget it. That's the starting line of obedience. You might have to sacrifice and go up to another level. And then finally, the last word on this ladder is to truly be generous, or to have generosity. That's when you're able to give above and beyond. And man, by God's grace, we have a church where people do this. They're able to give. They have a gift. They're chasing after what it means to be wealthy towards God. And we thank God for that. But what if you could continue to help others get there? Generosity breeds generosity, and it makes a difference. So which word kind of just fits where you are? Is it trust? Is it obedience? Is it sacrifice, or is it generosity? I want you to pick that word, and maybe you could prayerfully together, if you're here with your spouse or someone that helps you make financial choices, you should talk with them and together make a decision to take your next step. Why? Because we want to get a whole lot of money for the church? You're missing it if that's what you're hearing. Because of our generosity, lives are being changed. That's what it's about. And Paul said to the Corinthians, you're so generous because you share with everybody else. And that makes an eternal difference. So Paul says, life change is an invitation away because of your example, because of your generosity. He says, but don't forget the ultimate reason that life change is an invitation away. It's because of his grace. It's because of his grace. Every single thing that we have is a gift from God. We began this series by teaching that it all belongs to God. There's nothing that I possess that belongs to just me. It's all a gift from God. And Paul told the Corinthians in verse 14, he said, and their prayers for you, the people that they're reaching, their hearts will go out to you. Why? Because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. God has given the Corinthians a grace in the person of Jesus Christ. And that grace that they had experienced changed their hearts. And when grace is experienced, grace has to be extended. When we receive it, we have to offer it. We can't keep it to ourselves. And the Corinthians had experienced that. The Corinthians were a group of people that were lost in following after all of these different idols and these things. They had this huge void and a hole in their heart, and they were trying to fill it with a whole bunch of things from outside. And none of them were working, and when they experienced Jesus, it completely changed their identity and their life. And then they experienced that grace, and it just kind of spilled over into other people's lives. And Paul said it's because of his grace. That's why he wraps up this chapter with this incredible phrase, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. His indescribable gift. That gift that he's talking about is life change. Life changed through the person of Jesus Christ. That is the grace of God. God's grace gives us something that we do not deserve. That's forgiveness. We need forgiveness desperately because we have fallen short before a holy God. I've messed up. I've sinned. I know you have because the Bible says everyone has. And so if this morning you've walked in and you know that you've fallen short of God, you've sinned, you've messed up, you're in good company. Everybody here has. And that's a problem because if we die separated from God because of our sin, if the phone rings this week, and our life is over? The Bible says we will spend forever separated from him in hell. That means no hope. But that's why this gift is indescribable. Because God says it doesn't have to end that way. Hope is available through Jesus, who went to the cross and died in our place. He took the punishment that we deserved. He paid the price that we should have paid, so that we could experience forgiveness. And the invitation is available to all of us today. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're religious or not. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter. It's for everyone. It's a free invitation. And God is inviting and God is asking, will you receive it? My son died for you, so that you could have hope and forgiveness. And if you will experience it, you will freely extend it. See, life change is one invitation away. Just one ask away. Because of your example, because of your generosity, and oh, because of his grace. Do me a favor this morning. Would you find this card that we just talked about a minute ago? Be ready to respond and then bow your head, kind of eliminate all the distractions around you, and then open your heart up real big to God. I want to invite you here this morning to experience and extend life change. First, I want to invite you to experience it. Do you know for sure today that you have truly experienced the life-changing love and forgiveness that God offers in Jesus? Do you know for sure that if your life were to end today, you know where you would spend forever? If not, I want to invite you to make that decision right here, right now. Every head bowed, no one looking around. I want to invite you to have a conversation with God from your heart to him. Just silently, right where you are, I want you to tell him. Say, God, thank you for loving me. And I admit I need a change. I know I have sinned. And I agree that Jesus is the one to change me, based on his death on the cross. And I want the power that was demonstrated 3 days after he was nailed to the cross, when he rose from the dead. I want that power in my life to change me. God, I want to allow you to lead my life. Thank you for that gift. Today, I respond to the invitation with a yes. With every head bowed, no one looking around. If you're here this morning and you made that decision, you had that conversation with God, would you do me a quick favor? Just raise your hand real quick so I can see it. Thank you. Thanks. Amen. You made the decision that Nathan talked about a few minutes ago. That forgiveness and love and hope is in your life. The Bible tells us that you have now went from death spiritually to life. And he's going to continue to move in your heart and change you from the inside out. That's true life change. I'd love to know about it. And the way you can tell us about it is to use that card on the bottom of the front after you fill out your name. You could just write life change. Today was your day. Today's my day for life change. Just write that down. Life change in Jesus. See, once you've experienced that, like many of you in this church have, you have to extend it. You have to extend it. When you have investment in a company, you have stake in that company. You get interest in that company. With the kingdom of God, there is a spiritual return. You get to share in the life change of people. People's lives are being changed here, and we thank God for that. It's by His grace. One way you can do that is to continue to be generous. Maybe it's to take a step up that ladder, and you can check one of those boxes on the back of the card. Which word is for you? Trust, obedience, sacrifice, or generosity? Another way to do that is to ask. It's to invite. It's to extend the opportunity for someone to meet Jesus. Every single venue, every single hour, we have space for you to invite someone to join you so that they can hear about how to have real life change. Life change in Jesus. Because when Jesus gets involved, everything changes. Father God, thank you for the fact that you offer life change. God, thank you for a church that believes in life change so much that they're willing to put their life on the line to display it. They continue to be generous to make it possible. And God, may we all remember that it's by your grace. God, thank you for changing my life and the life of so many here. Because when Jesus gets involved, everything changes. God, if we want to jumpstart our faith, I pray that our church would offer the invitation, because life change is one invitation away. In Jesus' name, amen.